Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Please welcome the manager, number 30, Craig Council.
I know it's official that I'm a Cub now and I'm talking to Danny Parkins. You know what I mean?
Craig Council.
My thought on Craig, as I've always watched him against us, was the Bum Phillips quote where he said, he'd take his and beat yours and yours and beat his. And that's kind of how I felt sometimes watching him, that he was just getting the most out of the team.
MLB veteran for 16 seasons.
Council gets into one to right. His teammates call him Rudy, and Rudy has just tied game one of the 2001 World Series with a first inning home run.
Two-time World Series champion.
So now it's Council who carries the run that could win the World Series as he leads away from third. A liner off Nagy's glove into center field. The Florida Marlins have won the World Series.
Manager for your Chicago Cubs.
Life's got a couple twists and turns ahead of you.
This was a life goal for me. Afternoons with the Score. So here we are.
That's a great story.
And my life goal is to work with Danny.
That's questionable, yeah.
Craig Council with Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score.
Excited for our bi-monthly visit with Craig Council, and it happens right now as Craig joins us on the Circus Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circus Sports app today. It's the Parkins and Spiegel Show. Matt Spiegel and Anthony Herron are your hosts because Danny Parkins decided, Craig Council, that interviewing you was secondary to his life as his best friend is getting married today in Kansas City. Can you believe that, Craig?
Yeah, I know where I stand.
It's good to learn that, don't you think?
I mean, as you're building new relationships, very important to learn that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, take that to heart and just know that we care more. Speaks and Anthony Harris care more. Do you have the news on what pitcher you're adding? Has Jose Quas got option this morning? Could you tell us that?
We're going to add Keegan Thompson. Yes.
Wow, that's very interesting. Yeah,
very cool.
Keegan was a great Cub for a while, yeah. And then struggled and went down. But that's a bulk guy, theoretically. I think he's been going two innings in every one of his minor league starts. Is that right, Craig?
In his appearances, he's been pitching out of the bullpen. Yeah, and I think see Keegan as multiple innings, certainly. And look, we just, you know, it's going to take, every year, I think bullpens and kind of figuring out what's going on with them is a little bit of a process to find out. And unfortunately, Jose struggled to start the season. And so, you know, Keegan gets an opportunity.
Have been wondering about your philosophy on that. So it'll be interesting. If the bullpen mix had been different with more guys who could go multiple innings, would you be inclined to use people that way as a philosophy?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're just putting your guys in position to be successful. So certainly multiple innings is on the table with the right pitchers. Absolutely.
All right. Let me ask it a different way. A long held general bullpen thought on my end. Want to get your thought on, because maybe it's too simplistic. Like when I see a lot of guys get used one inning after one, part of me thinks, all right, the more guys you use, the more chance that one of them just doesn't have it on a given day. Is that too simplistic to think about it that way?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a combination of that and the hitters that they're facing. Yeah, I mean, it's hard for hitters to face a different pitcher every single at bat. We know that. We know that's more difficult than the third time through the lineup or whatever. So, but you also need pitchers that are going to get, you know, that are going to face, get 15 outs, get 18 outs, get 21 outs. And you want pitchers like that. You're trying to develop pitchers like that and find pitchers like that. So, you know, I think both things can be a little bit true. Yeah, I mean, multiple inning relievers are certainly, they're valuable for sure, but it's harder to get six outs than it is to get three outs.
Now that you're a couple of weeks into it at this point, as far as the season goes, but a lot of us were just wondering whether or not more would be added to the starting staff, to the bullpen. And now that you're having to make some maneuvers during the season here, is it fair to look at the way the roster was managed, the staff was managed as far as personnel goes coming into the year, that it was indicative of confidence in what you had available to you in your minor league system and the ability to pull up guys like Keegan?
Yeah, I mean, I think, look, like you can't, you know, and lots of clubs around the league are going through this. Like you don't replace Justin Steele with somebody of his quality. And that's, you know, that's how injuries affect you. So there's no replacing guys like that. You can add a body for sure, but he's not going to be of Justin Steele's quality. You know, that's, I think that makes sense. And I think I would argue the same for Julian Merriweather. It's tough to replace guys like that. So that's going to change like what your pitching staff looks like. You know, injuries, we have to like survive them. You know, none of ours are like really long-term right now. So guys are all coming back. So we should get some reinforcements as the weeks come here. But yeah, I mean, I think we're in a, you know, a decent spot right now, but certainly can't afford your top pitchers going down. It's going to really impact you.
Craig Counsell's here with us in Parkins and Spiegel. Spiegs and Anthony Herron. I loved the entire way that the opener worked out with Little and Brown, and also that Brown got his first appearance in Texas, and it just seemed like, just from like a makeup standpoint or some of the soft factors, it looked like he really enjoyed being able to get the bulk run and then the first start. Like, how much were you thinking about his personality or his makeup or the effect on him as a person when the way that his role is kind of played out over his first three appearances? Because it seems to have worked out really well.
Yeah, I think we've been a little fortunate there and just kind of the nature of what we needed from Ben. But I know, you know, look, your first major league experience as a pitcher is daunting. In some ways that getting it out of the way, like, in just a little easier scenario is just helpful. I believe that. And so we were able to get him, you know, it was a relief appearance where we were down. And it didn't go well, but I think he got it out of the way. And from there, he's kind of gotten onto more of a schedule, which he's accustomed to. And he's pitched super, super well. And he's been a big deal. I mean, he's, you know, when we talk about it, he's replaced Justin Steele's innings, and he's done a really darn good job with those innings. So that's been a really pleasant surprise and really helpful and important. His development the first 2 weeks has been really important.
Do you think are you looking at straight starts for him moving forward, or might you use an opener with him again?
I mean, I think we'll look at it. I think it's really uncertain. It's certain lineups, and you always kind of just look at it. But obviously, one of the things, too, is we're trying to get Ben stretched out a little more, that he just wasn't completely stretched out coming out, and we still are working on that. So, you know, those are things that we have to consider. But it makes sense just to look at it and then decide what the best is for the Cubs and what's the best for Ben.
You know, one last thing on the opener. The Rays get all the credit for it. Like in most of the strategy circles, like 2018, they did it. But I think it was you in the 2017 season with the Brewers. Do you feel a sense of innovation for the way you had to kind of shift to that strategy a bit in 2017 in terms of the opener being sort of pervasive around the game now?
Yeah, I mean, I would. I think the Rays were doing it first. But
trying to give you some credit here. Trying to give you credit here. Counts, take it.
I'm not going to take it. No. I think the Rays were doing it first. I think, you know, like just understanding different ways to use pitching and not being kind of locked into, it's 27 outs. That's what I say that. And it's your pitcher's job is to get outs. That's all we're looking for. We're looking to piece together 27 outs every single day. And I think just, thinking about it like that is the better way to think about it than starters, relievers. So I think I've always tried to think about it like that. And that means like at times doing something like Luke Little starting when there's two out of three lefties, you know, starting the game.
So it's remarkably early in the season, and Kyle Hendricks is as experienced and knowledgeable as any pitcher in the sport. This is your first season getting to work with him. You've worked against him plenty over the years. But how does the back and forth work between the two of you? Where early in the season, he's struggling, and you as his manager now are trying to help him figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's Kyle struggled his first three starts. There's no question about it. And, you know, when you look at it, it's stuff that it's not. I don't know if there's anything like brand new that we need to kind of change. When a lot of this comes down to execution, and especially for a pitcher like Kyle, you know, he is kind of required to execute at a higher level than everybody else, just with the nature of his stuff. And when it doesn't happen, you know, the results haven't been great. So we just kind of continue the conversation of one, trying to get him locked into his mechanics so that that execution level does go to the level it should be at. And then two, just kind of talk about small things regarding just patterns that we have to just be careful of getting into that we all kind of like go through with every pitcher on every start.
And because it's early in the season and it's your first season here, I mean, this is still early for you and even figuring out, just looking with your eyes in person at the pitching staff, the hitters, what makes them tick, how things operate for them when they're really functioning at a high level. Where would you say you're at in that process of just really getting to know these guys?
Yeah, it's where I'd expect to be at. I think you need to see it, right? It's one of those things where, like, if you're going to use your instincts, the best thing is to, like, be experienced with your players and see them succeed and see them fail. And as you see that, like, you understand kind of their rhythm. And so, yeah, I mean, we're 12 games in, and we're a 6-week spring training in, and I feel good about it. I'll feel better in 2 more weeks. I can't rush that. We have to experience the games together, and we have to experience the peaks and valleys together.
Who are you pleasantly, not surprised, that's the wrong word, but who are you enjoying in a way that you didn't realize you might, in terms of like the people? Cause there's some people off to great starts, but also just, I'm wondering like who's interesting, who's fun that you're getting to work with every day.
John Steinmiller is very interesting.
what are some hallmarks
he's
of this?
Fascinating.
Yeah, he's the PR guy. What are some hallmarks of the Steinmiller administration? There were donuts one day in the spring. Thought maybe that was going to be his.
No, I mean, I think, you know, the young player that I talk about is just Michael Bush has been really, really fun because I think he's handled everything so well early, you know, this is like you get traded to Chicago Cubs. You're the first baseman. You're a rookie, you know, and there's some, you know, there's some heat on you to succeed. And I think I just really appreciate his kind of level headedness and kind of his consistent approach. It really, I think, is going to, it bodes well for him to have success. And so it's been fun watching an important player getting off to a good start, I think, for us that I've been really pleased with.
That's cool. You know, Christopher Morel, backhand play the other night. Thought the tag was pretty sweet on the Bellinger throw. What do you think about the progress for young Christopher at third?
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, this is measured over a long-term thing, not one play here and one play there. But, you know, I mean, Christopher's helping us win games, you know, and that can be done in several ways. And we'll just, the more we can get him over at third base, the more reps we can get him, the more confidence we can get him, the better. He had a nice series in San Diego. And so we'll build on that, and that gives him some confidence.
Was looking at the games where he gets replaced for Madrigal. Defensively, there's like 5 times that's happened, 3 at-bats for Nick, 1 pinch hit for Garrett Cooper in there, 2 games in which like the lead happened to be lost by the time the spot came up. Does hindsight ever enter your mind at those moments, or can you not allow that as a manager to even think about it?
Yeah, I mean, does hindsight ever enter? Of course it does. I mean, of course we review our decisions. I don't, in those situations, I haven't thought twice about that. You know, I think I think we're using sound strategy there. And there's another guy hitting that's got a chance to do some damage too. And we're putting a better defender in there. So you just, you got to go with that. And I think, you know, that there's been some pitching issues in those games that we're talking about for sure. that we got to probably clean up more than that.
You give me a Christopher Morel anecdote, because there was a lot of time over the offseason where there were folks just trying to figure out, how's this lineup? How's the full roster going to get pieced together? And Morel's name came up in trade talks a few times. I know this guy's too young and talented and vibrant, and he's been off to a nice start so far. So you, in early time that you're spending working with him, do you have a nice anecdote for us?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, it was more my kind of opinion of Christopher, really, is just like from watching him and really it's just the way that his at bats. I mean, I think I just thought more than anything, his at bats make you feel like we have to find a place for this guy to play. It's really important. And, you know, obviously there's multiple spots. He's played multiple spots. I think, you know, in the long run, like if we can, like I've said, if we can get a good third baseman out of this Christopher can turn into a good third baseman. It opens up a lot on the team. And it gives, you know, somebody like Jed, like some flexibility to kind of roster build in the future. And I think that's important. But I think, you know, just watching Chris swing the bat from across the way, like we got to find a spot for this guy to play.
His ability to not swing at stuff outside the zone, that's got to be nice to see. It's him chasing less. Is that something that was a focus in the spring, or is he just kind of finding his way there? How did this happen? What's going on with that? Because the O swing percentage has gone down and down and down for Chris.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a trait of young players that they're gonna swing at the slider, and then, you know, the players who make the adjustments like gradually get better at not swinging at the slider. It's not I think it's not me telling Christopher, don't swing at the slider out of the zone. That's not good enough. but it just, you find ways and with the hitting coaches to just recognize what are your mistakes. And as you see that pitch over and over again, you get a little better at it. And that's what's happening right now. I think Chris just is getting a little bit better at kind of recognizing that pitch because he's seen it more and he's seeing it more. And he gets a little better at laying off it, and that puts him in better count situations to do some damage.
What can you tell us about Nico Horner at the plate that you're seeing? We love Nico, get a chance to talk to him weekly, but it's been a tough start offensively for him.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's nothing wrong with Nico Horner. I think if you look at some other the underlying stuff, it's actually is the same or maybe even a little better than what he was doing last year. So he's run into some tough luck as much as anything. And that, you know, there's nothing you can do about that. That's just the nature of baseball. There's a lot of that in short stretches of, you know, sample sizes in baseball. And so Nico's just got to stay where he's at and just kind of keep grinding and know the hits are going to come.
How much caution was there in the what at least as far as I could tell was a fairly immediate decision to rule Justin Steele out for all of April? Is there a level of caution that went into that just to sort of make sure he'd get right before he was back out there?
No, I mean, that's just that's how much he's going to miss. I mean, you know, he's got a strain. There's no way that we know it's a strain of a certain you know, severity that it's going to keep him out at least that long. So there's no extra caution in that. We're just trying to give you an accurate timeline, and that's as accurate as we can give you.
Hey, Craig, when you look at Julio Rodriguez on these Mariners, is that about as good of a five-tool, you know, center field athlete as there is in the game right now? There's something about those guys. It's pretty special stuff.
Yeah, I mean, he's a super exciting player for sure. And he's one of those young players that comes up and you realize he can do things in the game in every part of the game to beat you. And at a really young age, he's already gotten to like a you know, really high level player. And so those are special players for sure. You know, we got to do our best to stop him for 3 days.
Who was it for you as a young fan of the game? Like you know, of an older generation, they had Mantle, you know. Of a slightly younger generation, they might have had Trout, you know, or Harper, and now it's Julio. It's like when I ask you for one of those guys, for you as a young fan, who comes to mind?
I mean, the guy that did the most amazing things was Bo Jackson. And you'd look at him and you'd be like, "But can I play on the same field as somebody like that does those things?" So that would be the guy that that always stuck out for me. Like, you'd see him do things on the field and you'd be like, "Oh my God."
Yeah, understandable. All right, Craig, thanks so much. Enjoy your time in Seattle. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Craig.
Craig Council, right here on 670 The Score. Interesting. I think you missed Danny.
You think so?
I don't know. Thoughts, boys? It's interesting. Oh,
yeah, sure. Send it to us. Yeah. Is that a possible... Is that a human emotion that exists?
Is it possible?
It is.
I'm just throwing it out there. I'm not saying yes or no.
Yeah, so instead of you saying something to make someone feel bad, you want us to say it.
All right.
Is that why you're throwing it over here?
I'm saying that's what I said. Okay. So, since he was like, wow, Danny's not here.
Okay.
This makes me sad.
Do you think your questions were too hard for him? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know.
I don't think you're
the smartest manager in baseball.
I think he was a little, just a tad.
Maybe just taken back because he's used to talking baseball with Danny.
No. I'm not saying my questions were hard. I think maybe I was, I don't know.
I just don't think Shane did a good enough job of explaining to Craig beforehand, like, look, Danny's not going to be here.
Yeah.
It's
time to make an adjustment.
It's hard.
We all are.
I'll point a thumb.
So help me out. Is he normally, like, more bubbly?
Well.
He's just kind of, a little Shecky Green.
Danny told me yesterday, hey, make sure you tell Craig I'm not there. And I totally forgot to fly to Seattle last night and let Craig know in person that Danny wouldn't be here. So maybe he was just off a little bit.
When you've reached the state of total Parkinslessness, it can be uncomfortable.
Yes,
no, like Craig and Danny go way back. They have a relationship. Right. Just, it's interesting.
So there's normally more giggles.
Maybe a couple. Right. A couple.
A little more yaha.
But we know, he said 2 weeks ago, he said that he can be tough to work with.
Right.
So maybe that qualifies just a little.
Okay.
Maybe it was me. I don't know. I'll point a thumb. Unlike Danny, I'll point a thumb at myself. I don't just point a thumb at you, which is something that came up.
I'm confident it wasn't me. I'll say that.
That is fair. 670 The Score. It's the perfect Anthony Herron, along with me, Matt Spiegel, on a Danny Parkins list, Parkins and Spiegel for the weekend. Hey, this guy's just taken the fall for the superstar. We're going to shoot that opinion down next with Steve Stone after that on 670 The Score.